Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Face of Innocence. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1. The Sweet Neighbor. The sun bathed Sycamore Lane in golden light as the neighborhood came alive with a soft hum of lawnmowers and cheerful chatter. Children raced down the sidewalks on their bikes, their laughter echoing against the row of pastel-colored homes. From her front porch, Celia Hartwell watched with a gentle smile, the picture of suburban serenity. A tray of freshly baked cookies rested on her lap, their aroma wafting into the warm air, drawing curious eyes her way. "Celia, you've outdone yourself again," said Mrs. Grayson, the elderly widow who lived across the street. She shuffled over, her floral housecoat flapping in the breeze. "You spoil this neighborhood with your baking." Celia's cheeks dimpled as she laughed softly. "Oh, Mrs. Grayson, it's the least I can do. You all have been so welcoming since I moved here." In truth, Celia had only been on Sycamore Lane for 6 months, but she'd already cemented her place as the beloved neighbor. Whether it was offering to babysit for Lila Turner, the frazzled single mother next door, or organizing charity drives at the local community center, Celia was the glue holding the neighborhood together. She had a knack for making everyone feel seen, valued, and important. "Take some cookies for later," Celia said, handing Mrs. Grayson a small bag she'd prepared. "And let me know if you need help with your garden this weekend. I noticed the weeds are getting unruly." "Oh, you're such a dear," Mrs. Grayson replied, clutching the bag as though it were a precious gift. "I don't know what we'd do without you." As Mrs. Grayson toddled off, Celia's smile lingered, but her eyes sharpened as they swept over the neighborhood. She watched Lila struggle to corral her two young sons into her minivan, her voice rising in frustration. At the corner, Aaron Steele was unloading groceries from his car, his expression distant and brooding. He had moved in a few years before but kept to himself. Celia's gaze settled on him for a moment longer, calculating. Then, with practiced grace, she stood, carrying the cookie tray back inside. Her home was as immaculate as her persona, spotless white walls adorned with cheerful art, soft pastels in every room, and a faint scent of lavender wafting through the air. It was a space carefully curated to exude warmth and perfection. But behind the pristine facade lay a darkness as cold as the knife she absent-mindedly toyed with while setting the tray on the counter. Later that afternoon, the neighborhood gathered at the park for the monthly block party. It was an event Celia had proposed and enthusiastically organized. Families mingled, children played tag, and laughter filled the air as tables overflowed with food and drinks. Celia moved through the crowd with ease, her presence a balm that soothed tensions and brought smiles. "Celia, this apple pie is incredible," said Robert, the neighborhood handyman. "Did you make it?" Celia laughed, brushing a strand of golden hair from her face. "Of course. You know I love baking for you all." As she spoke, her eyes flicked to Lila, who stood a few feet away, arguing with her ex-husband over their children's weekend plans. Celia had been careful to listen whenever Lila confided in her, noting every detail of the messy divorce. Now she stepped in, her tone gentle but firm. "Lila, is everything all right?" Celia asked, placing a comforting hand on her friend's arm. "You look upset." Lila sighed heavily, her cheeks flushed. "It's just Dan. He's being impossible as usual." Celia nodded sympathetically. "Well, you know I'm always here for you. If you ever need someone to talk to, just say the word." As Lila relaxed under her soothing words, Celia glanced over her shoulder, catching Aaron Steele watching them from a distance. His sharp, observant gaze lingered on her a moment too long, and she felt the first stirrings of annoyance. Aaron was the one puzzle piece she hadn't fully figured out yet, and his aloof nature grated on her nerves. Still, she gave him a warm smile, her expression innocent and inviting. He returned a nod but didn't approach. That night, Celia sat in her kitchen, a glass of wine in one hand and a notepad in the other. She meticulously listed each of her neighbors, jotting down their strengths, weaknesses, and secrets. Her pen hovered over Aaron's name. Aaron Steele. Journalist, quiet, suspicious. Possible threat. She tapped the pen against her lips, deep in thought. Aaron had barely spoken to anyone, yet she'd caught him watching her more than once. It was a look she recognized. Curiosity mixed with doubt. She would have to tread carefully around him, perhaps draw him in with a show of vulnerability. People like Aaron couldn't resist a mystery, and Celia was nothing if not an expert at crafting one. A soft smile spread across her lips as she sipped her wine. Outside, Sycamore Lane lay still and silent, unaware of the storm brewing within its most beloved resident. "Trust," she whispered to herself, her voice barely audible. "It's the easiest thing to earn, and the most dangerous weapon to wield." With that, she extinguished the light and retreated upstairs, leaving the neighborhood to sleep peacefully in the illusion of safety she had so masterfully created. Chapter 2, Cracks in the Facade. Morning dawned on Sycamore Lane with the usual rhythm of suburban life. Lawns were trimmed, cars washed, and dogs walked. Celia Hartwell stood in her kitchen, humming softly as she poured herself a cup of coffee. She glanced at her notepad from the night before, Aaron Steele's name circled in bold ink. A faint smile tugged at her lips. Today she would test the waters. Aaron Steele, recluse and former investigative journalist, sat on his front porch with a mug of black coffee. His gaze roamed over the neighborhood, taking in the picturesque scene of smiling neighbors and children playing. But his eyes narrowed as they landed on Celia. He'd noticed her from the start, the way she effortlessly integrated herself into every aspect of the community, the way everyone spoke about her in glowing terms, as though she were some benevolent force sent to brighten their lives. Aaron wasn't convinced. He had a journalist's instinct for uncovering truth, and something about Celia didn't sit right with him. "Good morning, Aaron." Celia's voice broke his thoughts. She stood at the edge of his yard, a basket of muffins in hand. Her sunny smile was disarming, but Aaron saw the flicker of calculation behind her blue eyes. "Morning," he replied cautiously, setting his mug down as she approached. "I realized I've never properly welcomed you to the block parties," she said, holding out the basket. "These are for you. Blueberry, your favorite, right?" Aaron's brow furrowed. "How'd you know that?" "Oh," Celia laughed, a lilting sound that could put anyone at ease. "Lila mentioned it once. I thought it might be a nice gesture." Aaron nodded, taking the basket but maintaining his guarded demeanor. "Thanks. Appreciate it." Celia's smile widened. "I know you tend to keep to yourself, but I'd love to get to know you better. It must be fascinating being a journalist. All those stories and adventures." Her words trailed off as she tilted her head, feigning curiosity. Aaron studied her, trying to gauge her intentions. He wasn't used to people like Celia. Charming, magnetic, and unnervingly perfect. "We all have our stories," he said finally, his tone neutral. Celia laughed again, but there was a flicker of annoyance in her eyes. "Well, I hope you'll share yours someday. I'd love to hear them." With that, she turned and walked away, her steps light and cheerful. Aaron watched her go, his unease deepening. The muffins smelled delicious, but he set them aside untouched. That afternoon, Celia made her way to Lila Turner's house. The young mother greeted her with a tired smile, her two boys tugging at her arms. "Celia, thank God you're here," Lila said, exasperated. "I don't know how you manage to stay so calm all the time." Celia stepped inside, her expression one of practiced empathy. "Oh, Lila, I've had my moments. But you know what helps?
Routine. Structure.
Maybe I can help you set something up for the boys." Lila's face lit up. "Would you? That would be amazing." As they talked, Celia subtly probed for more details about Lila's relationship with her ex-husband, Dan. It wasn't hard. Lila was an open book, eager to vent about her struggles. Celia listened intently, filing away every piece of information. By the time she left,
Lila was singing her praises again. But as Celia walked back to her house, her mind was already working on how to use the new information she'd gathered. Dan would be the perfect scapegoat for what she had planned next. Later that evening, Aaron sat at his desk, the soft glow of his laptop screen illuminating his face. He'd spent hours researching Celia Hartwell, but there was surprisingly little to find. No social media presence. No articles or mentions beyond her recent move to Sycamore Lane. It was as if she'd appeared out of thin air. Frustrated, Aaron leaned back in his chair and rubbed his temples. He was sure there was something off about her, but without concrete evidence, he was just another paranoid neighbor. Still, his gut told him to dig deeper. His thoughts were interrupted by a loud crash outside. He bolted to the window and saw Lila's minivan parked crookedly in her driveway, the driver's side window shattered. Lila stood in the yard, arguing with Dan, who gestured wildly. Aaron grabbed his phone and stepped outside, joining the growing crowd of neighbors gathering to watch the commotion. Celia was already there, her expression a mask of concern. "Lila, are you okay?" Celia asked, stepping forward. "It's Dan," Lila exclaimed, her voice shaking. He came over and started yelling, and then this happened. Dan threw up his hands. "I didn't touch her car. She's lying." Celia placed a comforting hand on Lila's shoulder. "Don't worry, we're here for you. Let's call the police and let them handle this." Aaron watched the scene unfold, his suspicions growing. Something about Celia's calm, controlled demeanor felt out of place, as though she were orchestrating the chaos rather than responding to it. That night, as the police took Dan away for questioning, Celia returned to her home, her expression serene. She poured herself a glass of wine and sat by the window, watching as the neighbors dispersed. She'd planted the seeds of distrust between Lila and Dan weeks ago, subtly fanning the flames until the inevitable explosion. Tonight had been the culmination of her efforts, and it had gone perfectly. But there was one loose thread, Aaron Steele. He was watching her, analyzing her. Celia could feel it, and she didn't like it. For now, she would play the part of the sweet neighbor. But if Aaron became a problem, she wouldn't hesitate to deal with him. As she sipped her wine, her lips curled into a faint smile. Manipulating people was an art, and she was a master. One by one, she would dismantle this neighborhood, leaving no trace of her involvement. The thought filled her with satisfaction, even as the darkness outside seemed to press closer, as if it, too, were drawn to the quiet storm brewing within Celia Hartwell. Chapter 3. The Perfect Frame. Sycamore Lane awoke to a chill in the air, an unusual shift for the usually mild suburb. Yet, the frost that seemed to settle over the neighborhood wasn't just weather, it was tension. The shattered window of Lila Turner's minivan was still fresh in everyone's minds, and the murmurs of gossip had taken root. At the heart of it all, Celia Hartwell sat on her porch with a steaming cup of tea, the embodiment of calm. The chaos was her symphony, and the crescendo was still building. Aaron Steele spent the morning combing through his notes. He'd stayed up late trying to connect the dots between Celia's arrival in the neighborhood and the unsettling incidents that had begun to plague Sycamore Lane. The problem was, nothing about her seemed out of place, on the surface. As he stared at his screen, his phone buzzed with a notification. It was a neighborhood group chat Celia had set up. "Celia Hartwell. Good morning, neighbors. I'm organizing a little get-together tonight at my place to check in on everyone after all the recent drama. Let's come together as a community. 7 p.m. Bring your favorite dish." Smiling face with smiling eyes. Aaron frowned. Celia's timing was impeccable. The dust hadn't even settled from the previous night, and she was already steering the narrative. He knew he had to go, not to socialize, but to observe her in action. By evening, Celia's house was the perfect picture of warmth and hospitality. Candles flickered on the mantel, the scent of baked goods filled the air, and soft jazz played in the background. The neighbors trickled in, their unease melting away under Celia's careful attention. Lila arrived last, her expression hesitant. Celia greeted her with a tight hug, leading her to a seat near the fireplace. "I'm so glad you came, Lila. You've been through so much. Let's focus on making you feel supported." Aaron arrived shortly after, scanning the room. Celia spotted him instantly, her smile brightening. "Aaron, so glad you could make it. You've been such a mystery to us all." "I like to keep it that way," he replied, his tone light but guarded. Celia chuckled, motioning for him to join the group. "Well, I hope tonight you'll let us in a little." As the evening unfolded, Celia effortlessly directed the conversations, steering them away from contentious topics and subtly reinforcing her role as the community's caretaker. Aaron observed her closely, noting the way she diffused tension and planted seeds of loyalty. But there was one moment that caught his attention. As Celia refilled Lila's glass, she leaned in and whispered something. Lila's face paled, and she glanced nervously at Aaron. Whatever Celia had said, it had worked. The next morning, Aaron's suspicions were confirmed. As he retrieved his newspaper, he noticed Lila avoiding eye contact, rushing her kids into the car. Other neighbors, too, seemed colder, their friendly smiles replaced by hesitant nods. He realized Celia was systematically turning the community against him. Determined to act, Aaron decided to confront Lila. He found her later that day at the grocery store, standing in the cereal aisle with her boys. "Lila," he said, keeping his voice low. "Can we talk?" Lila hesitated, glancing around. "Aaron, I really don't think that's a good idea. Just give me 5 minutes," he pleaded. "I need to know what Celia said to you." At the mention of Celia, Lila's expression hardened. "She told me to be careful around you," she said. "She said you've been asking too many questions about everyone." Aaron blinked. "And you believed her?" Lila sighed. "I don't know what to believe, Aaron. But things have been happening since you started poking around. Maybe it's best if you just stop." Aaron stared at her, frustration building. Celia had already planted the seeds of doubt, and they were taking root faster than he could stop them. That evening, another incident rocked the neighborhood. Robert, the handyman, reported that his shed had been broken into and his tools stolen. Once again, the rumor mill churned, and Aaron found himself at the center of the whispers. "Maybe he's just nosy," Celia suggested during a casual conversation with a few neighbors. "But didn't he used to write those investigative stories? People like that can get a little obsessed." It was the perfect deflection. Celia didn't outright accuse Aaron, but she planted just enough doubt to make everyone question him. Days later, Aaron received an anonymous email. It contained a photograph of Celia standing in front of a house in another state, her arm around a man whose face had been crossed out in red. Attached was a note. "She's not who you think she is. Be careful." The email confirmed what Aaron had suspected all along. Celia had secrets, and someone else knew about them. Before he could follow up, the police arrived at his door. "We need to talk," one of the officers said. "Your name's come up in connection with some recent incidents in the neighborhood." "What incidents?" Aaron asked, his heart sinking. The officer raised an eyebrow. "Let's start with the break-in at Robert's shed." Meanwhile, Celia watched the scene unfold from her living room window, a satisfied smile on her face. She'd planted the stolen tools in Aaron's garage the night before, knowing it would seal his fate. Her plan was coming together perfectly. The more the community turned against Aaron, the easier it would be to frame him for everything else she had planned. And if he became too much of a threat, she had contingencies in place. "Trust," she murmured to herself, her voice almost a purr. "It's so fragile, isn't it?" As she turned back to her spotless kitchen, her thoughts were already on the next step. Aaron Steele thought he was clever, but Celia Hartwell was always 3 steps ahead. Chapter 4. The Mask Slips. The crisp morning air carried a faint tension as Sycamore Lane stirred to life. For most neighbors, the recent chaos, the shattered window, the theft, and Aaron Steele's growing notoriety, was the primary topic of whispered conversations. But for Aaron, it was a waking nightmare. The police's visit had left him rattled, and the anonymous email haunted him like a shadow. Sitting at his desk, Aaron stared at the cryptic message and the photograph of Celia. Her smiling face was juxtaposed against the crude red slash over the man next to her. He didn't recognize the house or the man, but the message was clear. Celia wasn't who she claimed to be. He needed answers, and he needed them fast. Meanwhile, across the street, Celia Hartwell prepared her latest move. With the community firmly in her grasp and Aaron's reputation eroding by the day, she felt confident in her control. But confidence was dangerous, and cracks were beginning to form in her perfect facade. Rebecca Quinn, the sharp-witted owner of a local security company, had been watching Celia from the sidelines. Unlike the others, Rebecca wasn't one to be swayed by charm or gossip. She'd seen enough in her line of work to recognize manipulation when she saw it. And Celia's act was just a little too perfect. Rebecca decided to pay Aaron a visit. "Why are you here?" Aaron asked, his tone wary as he opened the door to Rebecca. "To talk," Rebecca said bluntly. "Look, I'm not buying the story Celia's selling. Something's off about her." Aaron raised an eyebrow. "You're the first person to say that out loud." Rebecca shrugged. "I'm a security expert. I've seen people like her before. People who smile while they're pulling the strings. She's too good to be true." Aaron motioned for her to come in. Over coffee, he showed her the anonymous email and the photograph. Rebecca studied it carefully. "Someone else knows her secrets," she said, tapping the image. "This could be your break. But you'll need proof. Something concrete to expose her." "I've been trying," Aaron admitted. "She's covered her tracks too well." Rebecca smirked. "Then we'll have to dig where she doesn't expect." That evening, Celia's carefully crafted world began to wobble. At the neighborhood book club meeting, Rebecca casually brought up the recent thefts and vandalism. "It's odd, isn't it? All these things happening after Celia moved in." The room fell silent, the accusation hanging in the air like a loaded gun. Celia, ever the performer, laughed softly. "Rebecca, I know you're new to the book club, but we try to keep things positive here." "I'm just saying," Rebecca pressed, her gaze unwavering. "It's an interesting coincidence." Celia's smile tightened, but she quickly recovered. "Coincidences happen. But if anyone has doubts, I'm happy to address them." The group shifted uncomfortably, murmurs spreading. Celia's charm had always been enough to quash suspicion, but Rebecca's directness planted a seed of unease. Late that night, Celia made her move. Dressed in black, she slipped through the neighborhood like a shadow, her target clear, Rebecca's house. If Rebecca wanted to play games, Celia would show her who was in control. Inside Rebecca's garage, Celia quickly planted incriminating items: a stack of forged documents and a missing piece of Robert's stolen tools. She worked swiftly and efficiently, her heartbeat steady. As she slipped out, she noticed something that gave her pause: a security camera aimed directly at the driveway. Celia cursed under her breath. Rebecca was more prepared than she'd anticipated. But the camera's angle suggested it hadn't caught her entry, and she slipped away into the night. The next morning, Rebecca discovered the planted evidence. She stared at the tools and documents in disbelief. It was a bold move, but Rebecca wasn't easily rattled. She reviewed her security footage and confirmed what she'd suspected. The camera hadn't captured Celia directly, but a shadow crossing the driveway matched the timing. Smiling grimly, Rebecca knew she had Celia right where she wanted her. Meanwhile, Aaron took another bold step. He'd tracked down the house in the photograph from the email. It was located in a quiet town a few hours away. Pretending to be a potential buyer, he arranged a visit to the property, now listed for sale. The real estate agent was eager to chat. "Oh, the previous owner. That'd be Mr. Linton. He passed away under unusual circumstances." Aaron's pulse quickened. "Unusual how?" "Well," the agent hesitated, "they never officially ruled it foul play, but let's just say his new girlfriend disappeared shortly after his death." Aaron didn't need to guess who that girlfriend might have been. Back in Sycamore Lane, Rebecca confronted Celia during a neighborhood barbecue. "Found some interesting things in my garage last night," she said casually, her tone cutting. "Any idea how they got there?" Celia's expression was a mask of innocence. "I have no idea what you're talking about, Rebecca. But I hope you've reported it to the police." "I have," Rebecca lied. "And they're very interested in reviewing the footage from my security cameras." For the first time, a flicker of doubt crossed Celia's face. She quickly recovered, but Rebecca saw it. The mask was slipping. The chapter ends with Aaron returning home, armed with new information. He called Rebecca, sharing what he'd learned. "Celia's more dangerous than we thought," he said. "She's done this before, and she's not going to stop." Rebecca's voice was firm. "Then we bring her down. Together." As the two forged an alliance, Celia watched from her window, her mind racing. She could feel the walls closing in. It was time to escalate. If Rebecca and Aaron wanted a battle, she'd give them one they'd never forget. Chapter 5. Shadows of the Past. The sun hung low over Sycamore Lane, casting long shadows that seemed to mirror the secrets brewing within its picturesque homes. Tension hummed through the neighborhood as Aaron Steele and Rebecca Quinn quietly worked to expose Celia Hartwell, the woman whose mask of innocence was beginning to crack. But Celia was already planning her next move, and her plans were far from subtle. Aaron sat in his home office, poring over the information he'd gathered on Celia. The house in the photograph had unlocked a troubling piece of her past, but it was only the beginning. He couldn't stop thinking about the real estate agent's words. Unusual circumstances. Determined to find more, Aaron placed a call to a former colleague who still worked in investigative journalism. "I need a favor," Aaron said, explaining the details he'd uncovered. "Dig up anything you can on Celia Hartwell, or any aliases she might have used." "Sounds like you're in deep," his friend replied. "Give me a day or two." Aaron hung up, feeling a flicker of hope. But as he stared at the photograph again, unease settled over him. Celia wasn't just a liar, she was dangerous. And if he wasn't careful, he could be her next victim. Meanwhile, Celia was busy playing her next card. She strolled into the community center where Rebecca had just finished setting up a charity event. The room was bustling with activity. Volunteers carrying boxes of donated goods and chatting happily. Celia's presence was like a magnetic force, drawing attention as she moved. "Rebecca," Celia said, her tone warm and pleasant. "I've been meaning to speak with you. It seems there's been some misunderstanding between us." Rebecca turned slowly, her eyes narrowing. "Misunderstanding? Is that what you call breaking into my garage?" Celia's laugh was light and disarming. "Oh, Rebecca. I'd never do such a thing. But if you're feeling threatened, I want to assure you, I'm on your side. I care about this community as much as you do." Rebecca crossed her arms, unimpressed. "Save it, Celia. I know who you are." Celia's smile faltered for the briefest moment before she leaned in closer, her voice dropping to a near whisper. "Do you? Because from where I'm standing, it looks like you're grasping at straws." Rebecca held her ground, but she felt the chill in Celia's words. This wasn't a neighborly dispute. It was a war, and Celia wasn't backing down. That evening, Celia's charm offensive continued. She hosted an impromptu dinner party, inviting several neighbors, including Robert and Lila. Over wine and laughter, Celia carefully steered the conversation, planting subtle doubts about Rebecca and Aaron. "It's just, I worry about Rebecca sometimes," Celia said, her tone laced with concern. "She seems so stressed. And Aaron, well, you've all seen how intense he can get." Lila frowned. "You think they're working together?" "I hate to speculate," Celia replied, shaking her head. "But we've all noticed how strange things have been since Aaron started asking questions." By the end of the evening, Celia had further solidified her position as the community's trusted confidant while quietly turning more neighbors against her adversaries. Rebecca wasn't sitting idle. She'd spent hours reviewing the partial footage from her security cameras. The shadow crossing her driveway was faint but clear enough to match the timing of the break-in. She sent the footage to a friend in law enforcement, hoping it would be enough to keep Celia under scrutiny. But her focus shifted when Aaron called with an update. "I found something," he said. "The man in the photograph with Celia. His name was Peter Linton. He was wealthy, single, and mysteriously died of poisoning shortly after meeting her. The case was never solved, but get this. Celia vanished from that town the day after his death." Rebecca let out a low whistle. "And now she's here, pulling the same stunts." "It gets worse," Aaron continued. "There are two other similar cases in different states. Same pattern. A new neighbor shows up, ingratiates herself into the community, and when something terrible happens, she disappears." Rebecca felt a chill run down her spine. "She's a predator." As Aaron and Rebecca worked to connect the dots, Celia struck again. That night, a fire broke out in Rebecca's backyard shed, sending flames and smoke billowing into the air. Neighbors rushed to help, forming a bucket line until the fire department arrived. Celia was at the forefront, shouting directions and consoling Rebecca with perfect sincerity. "I'm so sorry, Rebecca," Celia said, her hands gripping Rebecca's shoulders. "This is terrible. Is there anything I can do?" Rebecca stared at her, anger simmering just beneath the surface. "You've done enough." Celia's eyes glinted with amusement, though her expression remained sympathetic. "I just want to help." The fire destroyed most of Rebecca's equipment, setting back her work and leaving her shaken. But it also steeled her resolve. She wouldn't let Celia win. The chapter ends with a tense revelation. Aaron's journalist friend called back with the results of his search. "Aaron, you're not going to believe this. Celia Hartwell isn't her real name. She's used at least three aliases in the last 10 years, and every time she moves, people either disappear or end up dead. She's dangerous, Aaron. Be careful." Aaron hung up, his heart pounding. Across the street, Celia sat on her porch, sipping tea as though nothing had happened. But Aaron knew the truth now. The woman everyone trusted wasn't just a manipulator. She was a predator with a long trail of victims. "She knows we're on to her," Aaron said to Rebecca over the phone. "And she's not going to stop until she takes us down." "Let her try," Rebecca replied. "We're ready." But as they prepared for the next battle, Celia was already one step ahead, her mind working on a plan that would leave no room for escape. Chapter 6: The Trap. The sun dipped below the horizon, leaving Sycamore Lane cloaked in shadows. Inside her immaculate home, Celia Hartwell stood at her kitchen counter, slicing an apple with deliberate precision. Each slice was perfect, thin enough to reveal the faint lines of its core. She arranged the slices on a plate, her mind far from the task at hand. Aaron Steele and Rebecca Quinn had proven more resilient than she'd anticipated. They weren't like the others, easy to charm, manipulate, and discard. They were digging into her past, uncovering threads she'd carefully buried. It was time to change the game. She had always been three steps ahead, and this time would be no different. Celia placed the plate of apples on her table and sat down with her notebook. On the first page, two names were written in neat, looping handwriting: Aaron Steele and Rebecca Quinn. Below each name, a growing list of their weaknesses and patterns. Celia tapped her pen against her lips, her mind working out the details of her plan. By the time she finished her tea, the trap was set. Aaron Steele was restless. His laptop screen glowed in the dark room, the photograph of Celia with Peter Linton staring back at him. The pieces of the puzzle were falling into place, but they still lacked the damning evidence that would expose Celia's true nature to the entire neighborhood and the police. His phone buzzed on the desk, startling him. It was Rebecca. "We need to meet," she said, her voice tense. "Now." "Where?" "Community center. It's neutral ground. Bring everything you have." Aaron hesitated, sensing the urgency in her voice. "I'll be there in 10. Rebecca arrived at the community center first. The large, empty hall echoed with the sound of her footsteps as she paced, her mind racing. She'd spent the afternoon piecing together the fragments of Celia's past. Each detail pointed to one undeniable truth. Celia was a serial manipulator, possibly even a killer, who thrived on the trust of her victims. She didn't notice the figure watching her from the shadows. Celia watched from the corner of the hall, her presence hidden by the dim lighting. She'd overheard Rebecca's conversation with Aaron, having intercepted the call with a device she'd discreetly planted days ago. Everything was going according to plan. When Aaron arrived, Celia slipped out of the building and waited in the shadows near the parking lot. She'd already prepared her next move, one that would leave Aaron and Rebecca tangled in a web of their own making. Inside the community center, Aaron spread out the evidence he'd collected on a table. Photographs, anonymous emails, and fragments of Celia's connections to other victims. "She's done this before," Rebecca said, her voice low. "Peter Linton isn't the only one. There's a pattern, Aaron. Every time she moves, chaos follows." Aaron nodded. "But how do we prove it? The neighbors won't believe us without concrete evidence. And Celia's covered her tracks too well." Rebecca leaned closer, her eyes sharp. "We make her slip. She thrives on control, but if we push her hard enough, she'll make a mistake." As they strategized, the lights in the hall flickered. Aaron frowned. "Did you see that?" Rebecca looked around, unease creeping into her expression. "The power's been stable all day." Suddenly, the door to the hall slammed shut with a deafening thud. Both of them froze, their eyes darting toward the sound. The faint smell of smoke reached their nostrils. "Is that?" Aaron started, but Rebecca was already moving. They rushed to the door, yanking it open to find the hallway filled with smoke. Somewhere in the distance, an alarm began blaring. Panic set in as they realized the fire was spreading quickly. "Fire exit!" Rebecca shouted, grabbing Aaron's arm and pulling him toward the back of the building. Outside, Celia stood at a safe distance, watching the flames dance against the night sky. Her face was serene, her eyes cold. She'd planned every detail, ensuring the fire would spread just enough to cause chaos without injuring anyone. She needed Aaron and Rebecca alive, at least for now. As the fire department arrived, Celia melted into the gathering crowd of neighbors. She played her role flawlessly, feigning shock and concern as she approached Lila. "Rebecca and Aaron were inside," she said, her voice trembling. "I hope they're okay." Lila gasped. "Do you think they caused this? I mean, with everything going on." Celia placed a comforting hand on Lila's shoulder. Her expression pained. "I don't want to speculate. But it's strange, isn't it? So much trouble seems to follow them." The seed was planted. Aaron and Rebecca made it out of the fire unscathed, but the damage to their credibility was severe. By morning, whispers had spread throughout the neighborhood. The story, carefully orchestrated by Celia, painted them as reckless and untrustworthy. "How did this happen?" Rebecca asked, pacing Aaron's living room. "We were careful." Aaron's jaw tightened. "Celia happened. She's playing everyone, and they're falling for it." Rebecca slammed her hand on the table. "We need to get ahead of this. If we don't, she'll destroy us." Celia, meanwhile, was savoring her victory. The neighborhood was firmly in her grasp, and Aaron and Rebecca were on the defensive. But she wasn't satisfied yet. There was one more step to her plan, and it would ensure they could never threaten her again. She opened her laptop and began drafting an anonymous letter to the police. The letter implicated Aaron and Rebecca in the fire, weaving a story of jealousy and revenge that was as convincing as it was damning. Satisfied, she pressed send. "Checkmate," Celia whispered, a smile playing on her lips. But Aaron wasn't giving up. That night, he received another anonymous email. This one contained a list of names, other aliases Celia had used, and a warning: "She's more dangerous than you think. Don't trust anyone." Aaron stared at the screen, the weight of the message sinking in. Someone else was out there, someone who knew the truth about Celia. If he could find them, he might have a chance to expose her. But Celia was already tightening her grip, and time was running out. Chapter 7: The final gambit. The remnants of the fire at the community center lingered in the air, a bitter reminder of the chaos that had unfolded the night before. The neighborhood buzzed with speculation, much of it carefully seeded by Celia Hartwell. As far as the residents of Sycamore Lane were concerned, Aaron Steele and Rebecca Quinn were troublemakers, and Celia's position as the heart of the community remained secure. But inside Aaron's home, the mood was anything but calm. Aaron and Rebecca sat across from each other, the tension between them palpable. On the coffee table lay the anonymous email Aaron had received the night before, the list of names staring back at them like a silent accusation. "She's been using aliases for years," Rebecca said, breaking the silence. "And every time someone ends up dead or destroyed. We need to find out who sent this." Aaron nodded. "Whoever it is, they know Celia's real identity. If we can get them to talk, we might finally have the leverage we need." Rebecca leaned back, her arms crossed. "But how do we find them? They're staying anonymous for a reason." Aaron's phone buzzed, cutting off his reply. He glanced at the screen and froze. It was another message from the unknown sender. "You're close, but not close enough. Meet me at 8 p.m. tonight. The old warehouse on Lakeview Road. Come alone." Rebecca frowned as he showed her the message. "It's a trap." "Maybe," Aaron admitted. "But what choice do we have? This might be the only person who can help us." Rebecca's jaw tightened. "You're not going alone." Meanwhile, Celia was preparing her own gambit. Sitting at her pristine dining table, she reviewed the anonymous letter she'd sent to the police the night before. The response had been swift. By morning, officers had begun discreetly questioning neighbors about Aaron and Rebecca. Celia smiled to herself, savoring the knowledge that she was dismantling their credibility piece by piece. But she wasn't done. Tonight, she would ensure that Aaron and Rebecca could never threaten her again. At 8 p.m., Aaron arrived at the warehouse on Lakeview Road, his every sense on high alert. The building was a relic of the town's industrial past, its windows shattered and walls covered in graffiti. He stepped inside cautiously, the sound of his footsteps echoing through the cavernous space. "Hello," he called out, his voice cutting through the silence. A figure emerged from the shadows, a woman, her face partially obscured by a hood. "You came. Who are you?" Aaron demanded. The woman lowered her hood, revealing sharp features and piercing eyes. "My name's irrelevant. What matters is that I know who Celia Hartwell really is. And if you want to stop her, you'll listen carefully." Aaron glanced around, his unease growing. "Why should I trust you?" "You don't have to," the woman replied. "But I'm the only one who can give you what you need." She handed him a flash drive. "Everything's on here. Her real name, her past crimes, the people she's destroyed. She's not just a manipulator, she's a killer. And if you don't stop her now, you'll be next." Before Aaron could respond, the sound of tires screeching outside caught his attention. He turned toward the door just as Rebecca burst inside, her face pale. "It's a trap," she shouted. The woman's eyes widened. "You brought someone." Before anyone could react, a loud crash echoed through the warehouse as the door slammed shut. The faint click of a lock followed, and Aaron's heart sank. "She's here," Rebecca whispered. Celia stood outside the warehouse, a satisfied smile on her lips. She had anticipated Aaron's desperation and the likelihood of him seeking help from someone in her past. She had followed him, ensuring she could control the narrative once again. She stepped away from the door, her phone in hand. A single call would summon the police, and when they arrived, they would find Aaron and Rebecca in the middle of a suspicious meeting with a known criminal. It was the perfect setup. But Celia wasn't content to leave things to chance. She had come prepared, and she wasn't leaving until she was certain Aaron and Rebecca were neutralized. Inside the warehouse, chaos erupted. The woman who had given Aaron the flash drive tried to run, but Rebecca stopped her. "If you know something, you're not leaving until you help us take her down." "I already did," the woman snapped. "The rest is up to you." Aaron pocketed the flash drive. "We need to get out of here. Now." As they moved toward the door, smoke began to seep into the warehouse. Aaron's stomach dropped as he realized what was happening. "She's setting another fire," he said grimly. Rebecca grabbed his arm. "We have to move. Now." The three of them scrambled through the warehouse, searching for an exit as the smoke thickened. Celia's calculated chaos was designed to trap them, but they refused to give up. Outside, Celia watched the flames spread, her expression calm. She had orchestrated every detail, ensuring the fire would trap her adversaries long enough for the police to arrive. As the sound of sirens filled the air, she stepped back into the shadows, ready to play the concerned neighbor once again. But her confidence faltered as she noticed movement near the back of the warehouse. Aaron, Rebecca, and the unknown woman had found an emergency exit and were making their way out. Celia's eyes narrowed. This wasn't over. The chapter ends with a tense confrontation. As the three survivors stumbled away from the burning warehouse, Aaron turned to Rebecca. "We have what we need. It's time to expose her." Rebecca nodded, her expression hard. "But she knows we're coming. We need to hit her fast and hard." In the distance, Celia watched them disappear into the night. Her carefully laid plan had failed, but she wasn't done yet. If Aaron and Rebecca wanted a war, she would give them one they wouldn't survive. Chapter 8. Justice or Revenge. The following morning, the fire at the old warehouse was the talk of Sycamore Lane. Neighbors speculated wildly about its cause, and once again, whispers of Aaron Steele and Rebecca Quinn's involvement rippled through the community. Celia Hartwell, poised and composed, played her part perfectly, offering comfort to those concerned and quietly stoking the rumors. But this time, Aaron and Rebecca were ready to fight back. Aaron sat in his living room, the flash drive from the mysterious woman plugged into his laptop. The contents were damning, a treasure trove of documents, photographs, and news clippings linking Celia to a string of crimes across multiple states. Fraud, theft, arson, and even murder. It was all there. Rebecca paced the room behind him, her arms crossed. "This is it," she said. "This is what we need to take her down." Aaron nodded, his jaw set. "But we can't just hand this over to the police. She's too good at twisting the narrative. We need to control how this information comes out." Rebecca stopped pacing. "We go public. Leak it to the press, social media. Make it impossible for her to spin." Aaron hesitated. "It's risky. If she realizes what we're doing before it gains traction, she'll come after us harder than ever." Rebecca met his gaze. "She's coming for us regardless. We hit first and we hit hard." Celia, meanwhile, was preparing for her next move. She sat in her living room, sipping tea as she reviewed the fallout from the warehouse fire. The police had already questioned Aaron and Rebecca, but they'd managed to avoid any serious charges. It was a minor setback, one she intended to correct. Her phone buzzed, and she answered it without hesitation. "Yes," smooth voice responded. "It's done. The accounts are set up, and the transfer will be traced back to Aaron and Rebecca." Celia smiled. "Good. By the time they realize what's happening, it'll be too late." She ended the call and leaned back in her chair. The frame-up was perfect. Large sums of money, stolen from a non-existent neighborhood fund, would soon appear in accounts linked to Aaron and Rebecca. It was the kind of evidence even their strongest supporters couldn't refute. Later that night, the neighborhood meeting Celia had orchestrated took place. The community center buzzed with energy as neighbors gathered to discuss the recent incidents. Celia stood near the front, her expression serene but watchful. Lila, Robert, and Mrs. Grayson all sang her praises, praising her leadership in trying times. Aaron and Rebecca arrived late, their entrance causing a ripple of tension in the room. Celia's smile didn't falter, but her eyes narrowed slightly. "Glad you could join us," she said sweetly, her voice carrying across the room. Aaron ignored her, stepping forward to address the group. "We've all trusted Celia Hartwell," he began, his voice steady. "But what if I told you she's not who she claims to be?" A murmur spread through the crowd as Aaron held up a stack of papers. "This is the truth about Celia. Her real name is Madeline Greer. She's been lying to all of us, and the proof is right here. He handed copies of the evidence to several neighbors, who gasped as they read the details. Rebecca stepped forward, adding, "She's manipulated every community she's lived in, leaving a trail of destruction behind her. And now, she's trying to do the same to us." Celia's expression didn't waver. "This is ridiculous," she said, her tone measured. "Anyone can fabricate documents. Aaron's been obsessed with me from the beginning. He's the real threat here." But her confidence wavered as more neighbors began murmuring, their loyalty shaken. Lila stepped forward, her voice trembling. "Is this true, Celia? Did you lie to us?" Celia's mask cracked, her frustration surfacing. "I've done nothing but help this community," she snapped. "And now you're turning on me because of some baseless accusations." Aaron pressed on, playing the trump card. He pulled out his phone and projected a video onto the wall. It was footage from the warehouse fire, showing Celia's car parked nearby and a faint glimpse of her silhouette in the flames' glow. "This isn't baseless," Aaron said firmly. "This is who she is." The tension in the room reached a boiling point. Celia's composure shattered as she realized her carefully constructed world was crumbling. Desperation replaced her calculated charm, and she lashed out. "You don't understand," she shouted. "I did what I had to do. People are too blind to see the truth unless you show them. This neighborhood needed me." The neighbors recoiled, their fear and suspicion finally outweighing their admiration. Lila stepped back, her face pale. "You used us," she whispered. The sound of sirens in the distance broke the silence. Aaron had tipped off the authorities before the meeting, ensuring they'd arrive just as Celia's facade crumbled. She turned toward the door, but Rebecca blocked her path. "It's over," Rebecca said coldly. "You're done." The police entered, arresting Celia as the neighbors watched in stunned silence. Her protests and threats echoed through the room as she was led away, but her power over the community was gone. The truth had shattered the illusion she'd worked so hard to maintain. In the aftermath, Sycamore Lane began to heal. Aaron and Rebecca became reluctant heroes, their names cleared as the full extent of Celia's crimes came to light. The neighborhood rallied together, vowing never to let someone like her infiltrate their lives again. As Aaron watched the sunset from his porch, Rebecca joined him, a small smile on her face. "We did it," she said simply. Aaron nodded. "Bleh. But it cost us." Rebecca's smile faded. "People like her leave scars. But at least we stopped her." For now, the nightmare was over. But Aaron couldn't shake the feeling that Celia, wherever she ended up, was already planning her next move.